next.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And today, a conversation with State Representative Christine Goodwin here on Inside Douglas County. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Nice to see you again, Kyle. And hi, everyone.
So, kind of overall, update folks on what's going on. I guess I'd start with, we reported on this a few days ago, a recent appointment that you were given.
Yes, I've just got the call from Speaker Ray Field, who does appoint legislators to various committees in the state, and I have been appointed to health care. I'd previously been serving on behavioral health and environment and natural resources. But this is a big committee, of course, because healthcare is a very big industry in our state and a lot of important issues coming.
Well, and
forward.
Obviously it makes up a big portion of the state budget as well.
Yeah, we spend a lot of money to administer health care in the state. In fact, that was one of the big conversations right now is the bridge plan. Which we, because of COVID, there were probably about 400,000 more people enrolled in Medicaid, an example. They now have to go through a redetermination process. Typically, we have about a million point one people enrolled in the Medicaid program in our state. So this is quite the conversation, how this is going to take place. It should take several months, require thousands of employees through the Oregon Health Association to redetermine who qualifies.
Wow. So a lot going on there. And some of that, I mean, do you already have meetings scheduled this summer?
So the way it works is we start our committee meetings virtually. Still, we're doing virtual. And we began those early June. So the way it starts to roll out, the of course, the chair, the majority party chairs the committees, and they start to bring informational segments to us. So they will bring in different agencies and different individuals to talk about topics. And it kind of gives us a hint about what's going to be coming forward legislatively.
Now, as well, are you on the Natural Resources Committee,
I seem to recall?
So
yes.
What's going on with that group?
Well, that's quite lively as well. The Oregon Energy Department, of course, has released their climate planning tools, and their agenda is to press for zero carbon emissions by 2035. So I have many questions about that, of course. They are promoting solar and wind and electric cars primarily as our source of energy in the state of Oregon. Yet I have a lot of questions about the footprint that's going to be required for solar and wind and the disposal of that and what that does to our environment. And of course, we've seen in other states when they have problems with their electrical grid meeting the demand.
Yeah, and that is something we've been hearing about in the last few months, not even really, well, now being into fire season officially tomorrow, but given some of the things that have happened in the past and issues with the electrical grid, a lot of people are asking a lot of questions about that and about the timeline that some people say might be overly ambitious.
Well, I think so. I agree with innovation, and I agree with alternatives in energy. I think there needs to be a bridge to renewables, though. You can't really just suddenly say, you know, we don't like plan A, so we're just going to rush to plan B. And a lot of that, it's really alarmism to me that is creating really bad policy. So let's be smart about this. There are a lot of energy alternatives in the state, and I'm all for those conversations and being a part of that. But we'll see where this goes. Things are just now being brought forward to us, and we will continue in the conversation in committee.
And a lot of this seems to follow after the Biden administration, which has put a very ambitious plan and especially a timeline for making some pretty large changes to all areas of energy and, you know, what's produced, what kind of vehicles, et cetera.
Exactly. Our war on fossil fuels is really creating inflationary circumstances, and it would be equally, I think, catastrophic to our state.
So during the summer, I mean, you're not in session now, but how active are lawmakers?
Well, this is campaign season. So, yes, we have our committee meetings, and I know I'm out there meeting with all, so particularly, let's look at healthcare. The CCOs, the hospitals, the private practitioners, residency programs, just all kinds of dimensions of healthcare. And I'm just digging into those groups and learning all I can and understanding what their issues are so I can be a voice, you know, for our constituents and our businesses in Salem.
Now, legislative days are not till September. Talk about what is expected to happen at those.
Well, we'll still have more committee meetings. Whether we have special sessions will be up to the governor. So hard to say and predict that sometimes, but we'll still be in committees. We will be, legislation is starting to form. So we have concepts. We will have, and we go to our LCs, which are our legislative council, and we bring our concepts forward. And that's the beginning of bills percolating through the system. And then long session, of course, the election is November. A lot of shuffling going around, of course, right now on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. Going to be an interesting year, very interesting year. A lot of changes, I think. We're going to see a lot more balance in our government overall.
Well, we saw both House leaders from the majority and the minority step aside for their campaigns for governor. That meant other folks stepped into leadership roles and kind of a domino effect.
Yeah, very much so. And I know in our caucus, there's four that are running for Senate seats, a couple retired. The seat I'm running for, House District 4 now, that was an open seat because of a retirement, and there wasn't anybody running for that seat. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Of course, the governor's race is very interesting. I've got to put a plug in for Christine Drazen. She was the leader when I entered the legislature, and I was very impressed with her leadership skills.
Let's talk about this district shift. You were put in your current district when you were appointed. Mm-hmm. The boundaries got redrawn.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, you ended up in the other district and had to figure out what to do.
This is so confusing to me. It was confusing to districts are not, you know, first of all, we have 60 districts in our state. They're roughly about 17,000 people in a district. He used to be a little bit more concise, you know, and there was always an effort to kind of keep communities together. Now the lines are just really hard to understand. The House District 4 comes right up to Canyonville. It'll be Canyonville, Riddle, Days Creek. I still a lot of that district that I already represent, but we'll go deeper into Rogue River, Central Point. And I will have Gold Hill. So some other little smaller communities, but basically still Southern Oregon.
Now, does that go all the way to Grants Pass?
Merlin. So there's another rep, Lily Morgan, who represents Grants Pass and Kim Wallen in Medford. So it's kind of along the I-5 corridor, kind of east and west side.
Now, in the area that you're in, did it shift in which federal congressional district it's in?
So Alex Scarlatos, of course, is still will be our congressman in this district, and there was a little shifting there. Basically, there wasn't as much play and change. Well, yeah, there was, because they really did bring in a lot more of Lane County into that. That was actually one of the areas that they gerrymandered pretty hard.
And obviously for parts of Douglas County out to the east of Roseburg, now in District 2, and so a lot of changes there.
Yeah, well, so David Brock Smith, House District 1, he's come in to all the way into Winston. He actually has Melrose, but not Looking Glass. So again, the lines are now House District 2 goes up to northern Douglas County and pulls in Glide and Elkton and Sutherland and, yeah, that whole, which used to be Cedric Hayden's district. Anyway, a lot of movement in the House and the Senate side. So committees are shuffling right now. I was appointed early. I had signaled that I wanted health care. It's a really of interest to me. My husband's been a healthcare practitioner, so I'm really concerned about our rural communities and the accessibility to healthcare and the affordability, of course. Keeping good practitioners in our area, that was one of the reasons I fought hard for the Southern Oregon Medical Workforce College. We really want to train people here, keep people in our community, and I'm going to be working with our hospitals and all of those Umpqua Health. Actually, last night I was at the grand opening for Aviva Health, which is great in our community. Casey Bolton running that. And this morning, because I've been involved with behavioral health, I've been studying the homeless crisis and the models there, and what, you know, we need to lead on this. The public is really needs us to have some solutions to this, and I'm digging into that.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Christine Goodwin, they interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1247 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue. Part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. State Representative Christine Goodwin in with us now, talking about a lot of different things with the goings on of the Oregon State Legislature and some of the work she's doing right now. I'm curious about what it's been like to be in this legislative role and kind of the interaction between state lawmakers and both county commissioners and folks at the county level, but also interactions you have with folks at the federal level.
Well, I think that it definitely is a very important relationship for our county commissioners and myself in the legislature to work together, and our city officials. Again, particularly in relation to the homeless issue. So what I'm trying to do as a legislator is to understand the issues of my constituents, and when those things are coming forward, I have good resources. So I'm really building my resources, people that I can call upon. How does this impact you? How do you see this working out? Because we can just have the best of intentions in Salem. Things can sound very good at the onset, but then they get sucked into these agencies and the bureaucracy and the administration of it all. And a lot of times I see this money just sort of trickle out to the people that it was really intended for. So a lot of us agree that many of these programs and individuals need to be helped. It's, you know, making sure we're smart with the people's money. This is their money. This is their tax money. And I feel very responsible to guard that.
Are you concerned at all about the level of federal sort of COVID dollars that have come through in the last several months, and whether those have all gone to the right places, or are you now funding things that you're going to have to figure out how to fund when those dollars aren't around next year?
Yeah, our state's on a big sugar high with all this federal money. And instead of, my nature would be, let's shore up the programs and the things that we have already promised people. Make sure we can sustain those. When you just start creating new programs and new administrations, for those programs, you know, it's unsustainable, the amount of money that is being spent. And yeah, it makes me very uncomfortable.
So as a Republican, you've got your campaign to work on, but are you involved around the state helping anybody else?
Absolutely. So as you know, even though I am a conservative voice in the legislature, I represent my constituents, but when you get to Salem, you know, there were 23 Republicans and 37 Democrats. So once they are on the floor and they have 31 votes, you know, they basically just, you know, will pass whatever they want to pass. They don't even actually bring it. It's kind of baked in. They don't even bring it to the floor unless it's pretty much decided. So it's not good governance. It's not good policy. Now, there are people, and I will work very hard to find in committees and on various issues people that we can work together to solve this problem, because it's very transactional. We need to have good relationships and transact business. But there's some people that just are pretty set in their point of view, and those people are kind of pushing their agenda. But there, I think we're going to see a real change in that. I think we're going to at least gain some seats. I'm hoping we get to 28. If we got to 30, of course, 31 would be the magic number.
Obviously, around the country, the forecast is for a big Republican gain in the U.S. Congress. Oregon, though, is known very much as a progressive state overall. Do you see places where, you know, the attempt by the Republicans to gain more seats may hit some bumps in the road?
Well, I do know that the National Republican Party is actually, for the first time, they usually just write off Oregon. They are actually really getting behind Christine Drazen's race. This is really an opportunity for us to have a Republican governor and a true Republican that we've had in, you know, what, 40 years. So I know I know there's spillover. Everybody is even in Portland, only 8% of Portlanders are happy with what's happening with their city. Overall, Democrats, they've lost the independent. Even 30% of Democrats are not happy with the direction of this state. So obviously that bodes well. And then as the Biden administration just continues to create bigger inflationary problems for us without any solutions, that's definitely, people are starting to look at other answers. And we have those, and we need to be better as a party. We need to really discuss what we will do.
Talk about the governor's race, something we've really not had in a few generations. They're actually going way back. A strong third-party run, and current polling shows it really almost statistically a tie right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that Betsy Johnson is a very long-term politician. She's a very smart politician, and she moved to that independent category. She is what I would call kind of the more traditional moderate Democrat, but she's still a Democrat. I mean, she still votes mostly along Democratic lines. She was the one that brought the cat tax over the finish line. She was the deciding vote. They threatened to take her gavel away, so that meant more to her than to hold the line there. She's been positive in natural resources in some regards, but I would just caution people to look at the record. Not what their TV ads say, but actually look at their record. Christine Drazen is actually Klamath Falls. Has some Eagle Point roots as well. She understands rural Oregon and is very sensitive to rural Oregon. And she knows you have to understand the landscape of Salem and the Capitol. And you have to have some political, savvy to really get in there and make some changes, particularly in the agencies. We have agencies that have just, like the Oregon Health Authority, have just really overrun with their mandates and their authority. These unelected bureaucrats have really gone beyond what agencies were designed to do.
All right, out of time for now, State Representative Christine Goodwin, thanks for coming in.
Welcome, anytime.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.